already on the platform.
Four, one, six members is correct.
Yes, Chair.
There's someone who's speaking in the background. Honourable members, Minister Jilil, Deputy Minister Kivitz, Acting DG and your team, our support team from Parliament, the Committee Secretary, the researcher and the content advisor, and our assistant and the Executive Secretary. Good morning to you all this sunny morning in Cape Town. We also greet those that are watching our portfolio committee today. Today we're going to deal with something that we have dealt with several times. We even said when we were presented with a third white paper, we said we can't continue with white papers. For the department to continue with its mandate, it needs to strengthen its internal controls. And one of those controls is the Public Works Bill, which has not yet seen the day. It always ends in white papers. We have a second white paper. There was a white paper. There was a second white paper. We cannot accept a third white paper. We understand that last year there was lockdown, so we had challenges. But it can be even this year. We will continue with this bill not seeing its light of the day. So Minister and DM, today we want to check, or we want to get e-progress report on how far are you in the completion of the draft Public Works Bill, which will not only assist us in doing our oversight, but it will also strengthen your mandate. When you are coordinating other departments, it will be easier for you to demand the client fees that you are supposed to get, not to go through the route of treasury when you demand monies that are due to you by the department. So it will assist you. It's a process that we started last year, so we felt that even when we are to end this quarter or this 2020-21 financial year, we need to see how far are you with this one. Ms. Martinez, can we get any apologies? Do you have any apologies for today? Yes.
Yes, Chair. Good morning to yourself, Honourable Members, Minister DM and our colleagues. We have a couple of apologies, one from Honourable Numalo and the other one from Honourable Van Staden. I still don't see Honourable Shabalala, so I'm not sure whether she's still off ill or anything else. I don't know, because I didn't get any indication from Ms. Mjabo's side. Perhaps Honourable Mjabo can shed some light on that one. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Then we hand over to Minister and her team.
Good morning, DM and Honourable Members of Parliament, Honourable Chair. Thank you for the opportunity once again. Honourable Chair, I just want to inform the members about that we had a fire at Parliament yesterday in the old Assembly Chamber, and that the investigating team is on board to investigate the cause of the fire. And I've also asked one of the members of the Cape Town Regional Office to just join us this morning in the event that members would like to know more about the fire. But Chairperson, I can't agree more with you on the legislative or the bankruptcy of legislation governing this department. And there's a big legislative hole which need to be fixed so that this department can function properly. Just to give you an overall example, Chairperson, is that we have to implement the Infrastructure Development Act of 2014. There are no regulations. Over the years, what has happened, it was implemented by a framework, by some memorandum or some cabinet decisions. Similarly, with another piece of legislation relevant to the department is GIAMA of 2007, the Government Immovable Asset Management Act. Again, also no regulations. There's another piece which we will bring to the committee that we're currently working on. It is the report of the South African Law Reform Commission of 2012. Where they made recommendations about which pieces of legislation must be repealed. There are at least 14 pieces of legislation that need to be repealed, that has never been repealed. Also, there are 55 other acts of parliament that impact on the department. And so we have started the process now to also bring that Public Works Amendment and a Repeal Bill to the committee. Work has started that. So the Public Works Bill is also now that UPMAN has been reconfigured in the sixth administration to include infrastructure. It also provides an opportunity now to, like Chairperson said, you know, that we need to use the two existing white papers also to add the infrastructure into the new Public Works Bill. But I will ask the Acting DG, Honourable Chair, through you to do the submission to the Portfolio Committee about progress. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister, and good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee. Chairperson, the Minister has given an adequate background to the Public Works legislation. Safe to say that relying on a number of pieces of legislation in the absence of an act, and as the Minister has mentioned, we were reconfigured in 2019 to include infrastructure as part of our mandate. And that simply exacerbates our challenges in the framework legislation in the form of our Public Works Act. I'd like to hand over to Mr. Devon Pillay, our DDG for policy, and his assistant, the Irene Masitone, will take us through the presentation. Devon, over to you.
Thank you, Acting DG. Good morning to the Chairperson, Minister, Deputy Minister, members of the Portfolio Committee, and colleagues. I'm going to start by just giving you a broad overview of the presentation. So we essentially will be speaking to the purpose, the existing policy and legislative framework. I'll give you some background on the fifth administration and what has happened subsequent to that. The directive that's on the Public Works. I will speak a bit on the 2020 February presentation made to the Portfolio. I will then speak about the premise of the Public Works Bill and then speak in a greater detail on the legislative process that we will now embark on towards addressing some of the shortcomings. Thank you, Leanne. And next slide, please. Okay, so essentially the purpose is, as we mentioned, is to provide you with a background on where we are in terms of the Public Works Bill. Brief historic background as well, and key is the implementation plan that we're currently proposing and that we've started to implement. Thanks, Leon. Next slide. Okay, so this is quite crucial. This is the reason intent behind the Public Works legislation. Firstly, we all know there is no single act that provides a broad definition of DPWI's mandate. So DPWI currently bases its mandate on various pieces of legislation, some cabinet decisions, and the existing two white papers. So to a large extent, the mandate of DPWI remains in the white papers and has been given effect piecemeal via legislation. So the intent is to bring all of this under a framework legislation that encapsulates the entire of DPWI mandate. Now, very crucial in doing this is the reconfiguration of DPWI that occurred in 2019, and as Minister has mentioned, is the embedding of the coordination and facilitation of infrastructure development to DPWI mandate. In drafting the bill, there's two key things that we must take into account. The one is the concurrent function of DPWI, particularly when it speaks to its property as a property custodian, in terms of its construction and maintenance activities, and very critically in terms of its coordination role as EPWP. The concurrent function is an area that we need to get a certain level of concurrence with the provincial departments, as whatever the mandate is of national, they would need to concur that they need to implement the very similar mandate in the provinces. Linked to this is actually addressing the issue of section 146 sub 2 of the Constitution that speaks about conflict in legislation, provincial and national. Now, there's very little legislation that's been promulgated by provincial governments. In the main, it's been national departments. And if you look at DPWI on its own, in particular the construction sector, we have introduced legislation that covers the entire country. That means it's legislation that is also applicable by provincial departments, and it's a national prerogative. So in that regard, what we tend to do in such national legislation is develop standards, guidelines, etc., that provides for uniform implementation across the country. So we've achieved that to some extent, but we need to ensure that we have this concurrency as we move forward. Thanks, Leanne. Next slide. So this is basically the legislative framework that we're speaking to. It's the two white papers and the various pieces of legislation that has been promulgated and that is where DPWI is as the actual custodian. There are other pieces of legislation that makes a reference to DPWI, in particular the minister, in terms of certain functions that must be performed. So we'll encapsulate all of this within the broader strategic in the public works bill. Thanks, Leanne. You can, next slide. Yes. Okay. This is just to provide members with some brief context. And this is because this process started many, many years ago. So the discussions were around 2012, 2013. So between 2014 and 2017, in giving effect to those decisions those discussions, there was the intent to review the two white papers. And the two white papers that review would lead to the promulgation of Public Works Act. The intent at that point was to develop a comprehensive white paper that would speak to very specifically DPWI's mandate and functional areas. The intent was to get a single service provider that would be able to do a deep dive into all DPWI functions/mandates and develop research papers on each area that will guide us in the development of the policy paper. Unfortunately, during this period, we had tried various avenues to procure service providers. This included going out on open tender, looking at universities, trying to procure institutions such as HSRC, CSIR, etc. But over the period, none of this was we were able to achieve. So between 2017 and 2018, it was decided to build capacity within the branch to bolster it towards the review and the development of the Public Works Bill. So these posts that were to be created were outside of the structure. They were contract posts that were based on a one-year period. And it was at a very senior level, a chief director and director level. And that was because we intended to recruit experts in the respective fields. So this, of the four posts that were identified, three were filled, and the team started working immediately after appointment. Next slide, please, Leanne. So essentially what has transpired is the team initially developed a project plan that was supported and approved. They began drafting and emerged with the first draft of a diagnostic report, which they consulted and engaged with various managers across DPWI, that's national and provincial. This took the form of interviews and focus group discussions. The diagnostic report was provided to DPW Exco as well for the inputs were consulted. There were further consultation of public works within the public works family. And eventually in December 2018, the first diagnostic report was approved by the erstwhile Minister Nesi. Next slide, please, Lillian. And essentially what the white paper spoke to was the identification of an overarching white paper that was the powers, roles, and responsibilities of DPWI. Some of the policy gaps that were identified was, for example, the establishment of the PMTE. So while the PMTE was a structure that was established and approved by Cabinet, there was no policy document internally at DPWI except for the business case that led to the establishment of the PMTE. So the intent was to bring all of this together, make a neat, comprehensive document, and then that white paper will then serve as the basis for the legislation. However, the diagnostic report went one step further and proposed to Minister Nesi that we develop a green paper. Now that was rejected, and correctly so, because the department had already had its mandate and already had white papers. So when you have this environment where you have mandates and you have white papers and you have functions, you don't necessarily move towards back to a green paper, because a green paper is only government testing policy positions. So a green paper has no legal, no standing. So the intent was, we've got an existing white paper, let's move from the white paper going forward. Thanks, Leanne. Next slide. So essentially, as of March 2019, this is the process and successes that were to achieve was the identification of policy issues and priorities, both internal and external. There was a gap analysis undertaken. There was the diagnostic report that was produced, and then a comprehensive public works policy review report. The last document was not formally approved. It was at a draft form, and that's where the project came to an end. Thanks, Leanne. Okay. So in the sixth administration, there was engagement with Minister Dillon on the matter, and it was then advised that the department began to use the existing white papers as the basis for the development of the bill. So this basically serves as the policy direction for the department, and these were occurred in the engagement between minister and the officials. Leah, next slide, please. So in 2020, the department presented the portfolio committee, and then they presented a roadmap, which they indicated, which reflected how they would take forward the process of the towards the bill. Leanne, you can go to the next slide. Members, I'm going to just very quickly, respond to this. I'm not going to go into detail because I'll cover some of this. The development November, the policy document was to be approved around January 21. A legal drafter was to be appointed, and by March 2021. A public works bill, a memorandum of objectives, was to be submitted to the minister for approval towards the public comments. Next slide, Leanne. Then it was expected that by May 2021, it will be approved by Cabinet to gazette for public comment. Then you would have the approval processes, and public comments will then begin. And by around August, your consultation process would almost be complete. Next slide, Leanne. Now, when this was presented to the portfolio committee, there was an understanding within the branch at that point in time that the branch would have specifically dedicated capacity with experienced, knowledgeable, and competent professionals that were employed within the branch. It was going to use existing white papers, but I essentially there had been no progress, no traction on the initiative since the February 2020 presentation to the portfolio committee. Next slide, please, Leanne. Okay. So what we are proposing going forward is, as I mentioned previously, the public works bill will be based on the two white papers. members, and key things will be the concurrent function and the section 146 that we need to take into account. Next slide, please, Leanne. The intent here is for the bill to strengthen DPWI's mandate, and particularly within its area of being a portfolio manager, being the custodian of immovable assets of the state. It was towards addressing some of the challenges on state immovable assets and developing regulations. While the bill may not speak directly to some of these issues, such as regulations and guidelines, it will create those enabling environments that will strengthen us in this direction. Leanne, can we move to the next slide? What we speak through here is some of the functional areas that we expect the bill to assist and enhance. So it will speak to protecting state resources. Obviously, these will be dealt with in greater detail in respective pieces of regulation/legislation. It will speak to effective current and future accommodation needs of clients, and these will be embedded towards effectively embedding its functions. Leanne, can we move to the next slide? So what we've done in here is we basically spoke to what the bill will seek to achieve, and which is essentially embedding its mandate, but also enhancing some of its roles. And I just need to state on the onset that some of the roles will not necessarily be explicitly stated in the bill, but the bill will create that enabling environment for us to then take those areas further and make it more effective towards implementation, either through regulation or through a guideline. It just depends on the level of compliance that we are looking for. Leanne, to the next slide, please. I think I've covered all of this very, very broadly, but we can move to the next slide, Leanne. Just to mention in there, though, we will, in giving effect to the Public Works Bill, there'll be a very, very strong alignment between the bill itself and the National Development Plan and the socioeconomic objectives that are embedded within the National Development Plan. So currently what we have done towards the implementation of the Public Works Bill, and I'm going to emphasize that we've started this process only in January 2021. So to date, while we've written to the minister to request minister to approve that we use the two white papers as a source for developing the Public Works Bill, this is just for us to have this in writing so that we can, it serves as the basis for us to move forward. As a parallel process, instead of going out on open tender, which generally takes anything up to or more than 3 months, we've decided to request the state attorney to assist us with identifying a legal drafter. This is generally a much quicker route. So we've developed the terms of reference. We've engaged our legal services. The terms of reference has been developed to hopefully meet the state attorney's needs. We've reached concurrence with our internal legal unit on the matter. It was submitted to the state attorney around the end of February. So we're hoping to have a response within this week on the issue of a draft. Leanne, can we move on? This plan I wanted has been linked and is to the latest national policy framework development that was developed by the presidency and approved by cabinet in December 2020. We've tried to keep this as tight as possible. Wherever we can, we will try to save more time. But this is where how we envisage things to happen. On the policy proposal submitted, we're waiting approval from the minister. We should receive that one of the days. We're processed. Sorry, Leanne. We have not yet submitted the ACER and DG cluster as per the original presentation, which was supposed to be in January 2021. This process will happen at a later point. So right now we're at the policy position, confirmation of the use of the two white papers. Yeah, next slide. We're at the same point. We are with the state attorney to appoint a legal drafter. We're hoping all of this will be done within the next few weeks, within a week or two. Once that is done, we're hoping that the legal drafter will commence drafting immediately, and by June 2021, we're hoping to have a draft bill and a memorandum of objectives that we will submit to the minister for approval. So once minister has approved that, there's there would possibly be the need for internal consultations, and we will then get that on underway. Leanne, next slide. Then once we have that, we will get pre-certification and the initial CS approval for final submission to Minister for further forwarding to Cabinet to Gazette for public comment. Now, members may have noticed that I have not mentioned CS throughout. What we've done is just focused on the last step, which is to have the CS approved by October. We have already started with the CS process, so we should as we move, and every time there's an amendment that's being made, we'll effect those changes in the CS. So we can submit to the Chief State Law Advisor and to DPME in a parallel process. So we're hoping to save some time there. We're expecting we're looking at around November to get approval for the to gazette for public comment. Next slide, Leanne. Then we want to put out the bill for a public comment, and we're then hoping that by March we would have received all comments, finalized consultation, and then begin to work on the revised bill. Leanne, next slide, please. Thank you. One back. Thank you. Okay, so by April 2020, we're hoping to have the final CS and the final certification by the Chief State Law Advisor. So this will become now the final bill after consultation, and we want to have this approved by Minister by around May 2020, so that it can go to Cabinet for approval to be tabled in Parliament. And so we're expecting this to be in Parliament by end of May, early June 2020, so that the process can then immediately commence. Next slide, Leanne. We're asking the portfolio committee to please note the historical background, the progress reports from 2020, and our attempt to align it, taking into account that there was no traction on this initiative for 2020, and for them to acknowledge the revised plan to develop the public works bill. Thank you, Chairperson, and Minister and Deputy Minister, and members of the committee.
Irene, do you want to add anything? Irene or Lipuwani, anyone please?
Didi, I think Devin has managed to comprehensively address the presentation. Thank you.
Lipuwani?
Didi, I think the presentation is very explicit, and it is given the historical background in relation to the presentation that we have made to the Portfolio Committee in February last year. And of importance, for the Portfolio Committee to note is that we're going to emphasize, the requirements of developing the policy, given the new development that the presidency has actually, reflected. And I think that will actually save us time as well. And DDG, Mr. Pillay, reflected that. And I think the Portfolio Committee should actually put us on our toes on the basis of the new development in terms of policy development processes. Thank you.
November 2020.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I am back to the Minister and Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, through you. Chairperson, as you can see, just in terms of the historic background, there are more excuses and reasons why this bill was not brought to Parliament. But in November of 2020, the President issued a new directive as to how policy must be processed, and a much, much quicker way of doing it. I have instructed the department and requested them that the implementation plan that they have produced for the finalization of the bill before we can go to Parliament must follow the new directive, because the current timelines in here is not exactly what the President's directive is giving us. The one concern that I have, Chairperson, is that the previous acting DDG we have referred her back to her original department. But what has also happened is that we advertised a year ago, we advertised for a full-time Deputy Director General for Policy and Research. That process went on for 9-10 months. And when we finally got to Cabinet for approval of the DDG post, the Department of Public Service and Administration sent it back because the department didn't follow due process. And we missed an opportunity to appoint a full-time permanent DDG. Then thereafter, Chairperson, we were instructed by DPSA to re-advertise the post. We have subsequently re-advertised the post. I had a meeting with Minister Mkunu, and I've asked him to second a person from his office that can work with DPWI to ensure that we follow due process and that we don't waste time anymore. So where are we in filling the post now? I have put together a selection panel. The selection panel met two Sundays ago, and we had done the shortlisting. The interviews will now take place in next week, where we are going to interview. And then we have to go again the long process of taking it to Cabinet for approval. So that has been one of the weaknesses, the policy and research. Then we appointed Devon Pillay, that just presented Chairperson, as the acting DDG in policy and research. When Devon now had to put together the historical background to all of this bill, especially as to why in the whole year of 2020 there was absolutely no work done on the bill, most of the information was not available. So he wrote to me again asking for the approval to use the two white papers as the basis for drafting the bill. I referred him back to 2 years ago when this instruction was issued that the two existing white papers must be used. And he mustn't, because he is new as the acting DDG, he must just proceed. But he did write to me in any case to ask for another, I think for the third time now, approval to use the two white papers to draft the bill. And I have now, in our discussions last week and this week with the Policy Research Unit and the Acting DG, we have agreed that we now need to follow the new policy and legislative framework as was introduced by President Ramaphosa in November of 2020. So I will, as a way forward, Chairperson, I have now asked that the process which the department has presented to you in terms of implementation is still also very, very long, and that we need to take the new director from the president of November 2020, and we need to align our process to that director and follow that procedure, because that is the new way of doing legislation. But as you can see, Chairperson, some work has started now in earnest. Like Devon Pillay explained, the problem of not getting a proper service provided to help us. The problem really is, honourable members, that in drafting the specifications to get the right service provider on board, that is where the problem is. If we specifications properly and right from the beginning, you end up with a service provider. So to speed up the process, a shorter way will be to approach the state attorney and attorney to appoint a legal drafter that can assist the department. That request has already gone out to the state attorney's office, and hopefully as soon as he can approve that and we've got a proper legal drafter on board, we might see progress. But we will update the committee once the legal drafter has come on board to assist us in speeding up the process as to whether the timeline that's in the implementing plan today will be changed. I'm sure it will be changed just in terms of the 2020 November directive from the president and if the legal drafter comes on board. So we're not out of the woods yet, you know, to be very confident that we will be able to bring this draft bill for Parliament that has been outstanding since 2012. I've also done research and see what Minister Nesi has done, my predecessor. And Minister Nesi already in 2018 also gave a directive to the Policy and Research Department that they must proceed using the two white papers. So it's a very checkered history of this bill, honourable members. And we, together with the DM, we are working very hard to find a different way of dealing with legislation. With the other Public Works Amendment and Repeal Bill, I have approached the Office of the State Attorney to appoint one of the commissioners that served on the South African Law Review Committee in 2010. We were able to trace the commissioner that was responsible for dealing with all legislation around land. You know, we still have legislation on our statute books of 1910, 1922, 1961. And it's very painful when you have to approve the disposal of land in terms of all of these old pieces of legislation. So the state attorney has come back to us that he will appoint the commissioner or the ex-commissioner of the 2010 Law Review Commission by the 23rd of March. So even with that piece of legislation, we are trying all methods available to us to speed up the process of both pieces of legislation. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members.
Thank you, Minister, and your team for the presentation. I'm now inviting Honourable Members to ask questions and on the presentation that was presented to us. Let me start by Honourable Matebula, followed by Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Siwisa, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Van Skalvik, in that order. Honourable Matebula, Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Siwisa, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Van Skalvik.
Good morning to the Minister, the Prime Minister.
Sorry, Chair, I've also raised my hand. It's Spring.
Oh, apologies, Honourable Tree. You will be the last one after Honourable Van Skalvik.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Chair. Well, Chair, I just have got only one comments to make, in particular straight to what the minister presented in terms of the public works bill. Chair, I want to first of all echo what you said today and also in the previous meetings in relation to this particular important bill, that we need this particular bill in order for us to be able to be in line with the guidance of the law. But also at the same time, Chair, we need this particular bill in order, Chair, to fast track a service delivery to our people. And another thing, if this particular bill, Chair, is not in place, in some instances, we use common sense to run the department. We are actually running a risk of being legally challenged at some point. It may not be the case now, but in a near future or in a distant future, that might be a possibility. Hence, Chair, I want to join you in imploring the leadership in the ministry of the department to try and ensure that they speed up this particular process. Well, I hear the minister speaks about the appointment of the commissioner of each by the state attorney, of which I know that it's a bit of a process. But given the fact that this matter has been a matter on the table for some time, I think we might have learned ways and means in which we can fast track the advent of the bill to the department as soon as we can possibly do that. I'm sure that we do have got such muscles, and I'm sure that we've got such an ability to do that. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to let you, Honourable Thring, you are unmuted, just in case you're not aware of that.
I'm so sorry. Thank you.
No worries. Just in case. I just want to start off by saying that I'm not surprised you've battled to find people to help draft this bill, because I think this is going to be one of the most complicated pieces of legislation ever written. You know, to have a department already in place that has evolved and developed and changed over the last however many years, and then to try and draft legislation around its functions, has to be one of the most convoluted, impossible tasks that we face. So I appreciate the fact that it's been so difficult to find anybody to assist, because I don't know how it's actually going to be achieved. If you look at the structure of the department, how do you even begin to draft legislation that gives it the mandate that it requires? So I think it's going to be a near impossible process, but I think I'm super excited that we're actually making some headway. Because I think without this legislation, this department is going to continue to flail to really, really have its mandate enforceable throughout the country. So I think a couple of the things that I'm concerned about is, one is that we really have to ensure that whatever legislation is drafted strengthens the mandate of this department to act in the capacity that it's required to act. In other words, if we in terms of being the government's landlord, we make sure that we draft the legislation in such a way that we are being reimbursed for the work we do, that we are enabled in terms of recouping costs, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's one of the big, making sure that every aspect of the department's mandate is very clearly spelled out in the legislation. And then the other thing that concerns me is that a lot of the provincial departments of public works kind of do their own thing. I mean, I read yesterday or the day before, the Department of Education owes, I don't know, 500 billion or something ridiculous in KZN to the Department of Public Works in KZN. And how are we going to enable our provincial departments without stepping, you know, crossing over the bounds of concurrence that the Constitution gives us? How are we going to draft legislation that empowers the provincial departments? Because as you said, there's no legislation covering them either, to strengthen their mandate as well. And will that then be part of this bill? Or will we encourage each province to then draft their own legislation in line with this legislation, so that their mandate is as strengthened as the national department's mandate? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'll go straight to, I think this administration is going to end without this being seen the light of day, as the minister is speaking now, struggling to get people to assist in this. I'll go to the objectives, number 15 and 16 objectives of the bill. And number 15, let me just check it. Number 15 specifically says, strengthen the regulatory roles of public entities reporting to the minister, which serves as an extension of and assist the department in delivering its mandate. 16, better regulations and deepening transformation within the built environment professionals to instill public confidence to the industry. Now, here's my question, Minister, as to, we talk about the public entities. What does the bill say about bodies that do not report to the minister, whereby the PC of Public Works do not have jurisdiction to do oversight over? For an example, now we've got your infrastructure SA, I forget which one is the other one, whereby we do not have jurisdiction to do oversight in ensuring that there's transformation. And then, Minister, when we talk about the built environment professionals, it takes me back to the councils that came in to say that we've got the following problems, we don't get assistance from the entity, and you are talking about the bill needs to address deepening transformation. Since the last meeting that we had with the councils, has there been any improvement in transformation while we are waiting for this bill to actually see the light of day, for it to be finalized? And then there's also talk about the immovable assets. It also speaks to the immovable assets. And we know that at this moment, we are not sure whether what's on the register or not. And how does the bill actually address those 3 points that I've raised? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'll pick up from there. I echo what my colleagues have said before me. I just want to make one point that for me it is essential that this Public Works Bill is drafted and comes into law in order that the department can be seen to be moving forward with purpose. Because right now there is no enabling legislation that enables us to do that. And as Honourable Suisa said, central in my head to that is the immovable asset register, where we seem to still have such a problem marrying Archibus and Sage to enable us to get a handle on however many pieces of land we have are available to us, buildings that are available to us, and the state of those buildings. There seems to be such a disconnect, and until that system is up and running, I don't see us moving forward with much purpose, and it's a great concern to me, because we need to be able to be held accountable as a department, and as members of parliament, we need to be able to have a frame of reference to hold the department to account. And that is also tied in with the appropriate appointment of officials across the board. And I think that if we have an enabling piece of legislation that can assist us to ensure that the department is conforms to that legislation, there will be fewer loopholes and fewer problems that can occur. And yes, I'm very excited to be part of this, because I believe that if we get this bill up and running sooner rather than later, we really will have achieved something amazing for the future of South Africa. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin, and all those that spoke before you. Honourable Van Skalwijk, followed by Honourable Tring.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to Minister DM, honourable members and the staff present. Chairperson, I'm not going to echo the same sentiments raised by the previous members. Safe to say that we really need to move now. We've passed the stage of trying to find our feet in terms of progress with this bill. So my question would be, Chairperson, that I want to ask the department to try and stick to the timelines that they've now moved again, and that they come to us during our quarterly report sessions and update us on exactly where they are in terms of developing this bill, so that we can also track, Chairperson, if there are movement or if they are stagnant like the whole of 2020. Then, Chairperson, it's been mentioned this issue of concurrent functions, and we need to ask the department, can, just for the sake of not misinterpreting or each and every one of us having our own interpretation, can they just give us a proper clarification of this, what this concurrent function according to them as enshrined in our constitution mean? Then, Chairperson, we need to alert the DDG of Construction Policy and Research that in our meeting yesterday, we dealt with the issue of EPWP enforcement and standardization, and we asked the department to find some kind of a way to include within the drafting process a clause which speaks to this issue of EPWP's enforcement and its standardization in the policy, on how people are employed at all levels of government. If that can be done, it will really be appreciated. So, Chairperson, I would it's been elaborated to us the different approaches that has been taken and the initiatives that the ministry try to institute to try and fast track this process. So we would really like to urge the department to really move and not let us sit at the end of this term of the sixth parliament saying that we don't have a public works bill, because we really need it. We have a lot of challenges out there, and we see that this is the ultimate solution to addressing many of those challenges. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Tring.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think certainly, like the other colleagues have mentioned, the importance of having the Public Works Infrastructure Bill cemented and established cannot be overemphasized. I noticed the use of consultants. I think our presenter spoke about the use of consultants over the years, and even academics were attempted to be acquired to help draft the bill. And this obviously speaks to a lack of
capacity within the policy department of public works. We had a staff then that was hired for 1 year. The white papers were drafted, but we are now asking for the for an internal bill drafter from the state attorney. My simple question is, why did it take so long? The bill has been in the process, the policy has been in the process of being drafted from 2012, according to the minister. We've had the minister's predecessors attempting to get the bill sorted. Why has it taken so long to now ask for the state attorney, looking at our internal capacity, to assist in drafting the bill? The fact that we have two white papers that have been developed, and we still have officials saying, can we use the two white papers to help develop the bill, to help draft the bill? It just doesn't make sense when the predecessors, as well as the minister, have said, go ahead and use the information, use the research that has been done, use the white papers to assist in drafting the bill. Again, no traction from February 2020. We last had a presentation in February 2020, and there's been no traction. So this speaks to me, Chair, to a lack of accountability. And I think to some extent, we have to accept some responsibility there as well. And so I want to agree with, I think it was Honorable Van Schalkwyk, who spoke about some kind of monitoring and reporting process. And I think it's important that we have to put that in place, that we have to now have a monitoring and accountability process in place, whether it's quarterly, whether it's 6 monthly, but certainly there must be progress. We've got to see progress on this bill. The intent of the bill is to strengthen and to reinforce Department of Public Works' role. Pardon me, what this does, the challenges that we are seeing, it certainly highlights the weaknesses and the current challenges with concurrent departments, the fact that we don't have this bill in place. This is one of the reasons why we actually have some challenges with some of our concurrent departments. And it will continue unabated, and the role of the public works infrastructure will continue to be undermined and the weaknesses exploited if this bill is not fast-tracked. I want to just maybe ask the minister. Minister, you mentioned that there's a process that the president has put in place. He mentioned that from November 2020, there's a new policy and legislative framework that now must be followed. Now, what is different to what the president has actually indicated and what has been presented to us? Because what has been presented to us is that this particular process will now be complete in around about May 2022. And I think our presenter was saying, kept on saying 2020. And I don't know if that was picked up. But it seems as if it's now May 2022. Now, what is the difference between what the president is saying in terms of new policy legislative framework and what has been presented to us? And so what is the shorter timeline in getting this bill drafted? Because if the bill is not drafted, the weaknesses within the system will continue to be exploited. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Trung. Thank you, Honourable Members. Minister and your team, I echo the sentiments of my colleagues in saying that time is of essence. We can't continue talking about white papers. When I was saying we must throw out the white papers, I was not saying literally the research and the information that is there. I am happy as such that the presenter indicated that they are going to use those two white papers as the resource. But Minister, from the process that is being described today, it doesn't show strong enough to me the issue of transformation. The issue of transformation. Remember, we had We had those two councils, I think it's Honorable Suwisa, who has indicated that. We had the two councils, the CIDB and the CPE, which were complaining about the lack of transformation in the built environment. It means then this public works bill, this draft public works bill, should also talk about the transformation, especially in the built environment. To Minister, I think Honorable Van Schalkwyk captured that well, that there must be something about the EPWP policy also on the draft bill. But then my question is, Minister, knowing fully well that there is Schedule 4 of the Constitution that talks on the functional areas of concurrency, that is national, province, CS, and then, so I want to check from you now your understanding in terms of these concurrent functions across national, provincial and local government or sphere. Does the department enforces these concurrent functions? Or when you have your MINIMEC having invited all the MECs, do you enforce the national public works policies with them? So I have that question. But time is very crucial in this. We can't continue. We talked about the draft bill in 2019 when we came in, because we saw the gap that is there because of the non-availability of this bill. Thank you. Over to you, Minister, and your team.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members. Chairperson, as I'm looking at Schedule 4 on the functional areas of concurrent national and provincial legislative competence, it does state that public works only in respect of the needs of provincial government departments in the discharge of their responsibilities to administer functions specifically assigned to them in terms of the Constitution or any other law. In the absence of provincial laws or national laws, this has not been implemented. So that will be the purpose of the new bill will certainly assist to bring that concurrent powers. It says about municipal public works only in respect of the needs of municipalities in the discharge of their responsibilities. So the impact of all of this is that in the absence of this public works bill, a lot of conventions have developed over the years and no legislation to guide. What makes matters even worse, Honourable Members, is that besides the nine provincial departments of public works that you have, the National Department of Public Works also have got 11 regional offices in the respective provinces. You find that 80% of the budget of the National Department of Public Works gets spent in the public works regional offices. And there's also a weak coordination between the national office and public works regional offices in terms of accountability. So we are now reviewing all the regional offices of public works because they are have been designed to be a duplicate of the national office. So you, example, you have your supply chain management officer at national, you've got one in the region. You've got one dealing with the immovable assets. You've got 11 of them across the country. So we are reviewing the system because one is very costly to government, but it's a lot of duplication. And between the deputy minister and myself, we have visited all of these regional offices. Just on Friday, we were in Durban together to make an assessment there. So the lack of a public works bill does impact on our constitutional mandate. And therefore, I agree with all members that the process needs to be speeded up. Yes, it will be complicated, but as I was saying, the failure to move faster because of the problem of not being able to appoint a service provider. We've identified why we are not able to get the proper service providers because we are not drafting the specifications correctly. On the issue of transformation, Chairperson and Honourable Members, I will agree with you, it's the least transformed sector in our country. And so over the years, what Parliament has also done was to establish the CIDB. The CIDB was established by an Act of Parliament in the year 2000, and they are supposed to drive the transformation within the built environment. But what has been lacking over the years and what we're introducing as from the 1st of April, that before we send any money to any entity, we will sign a service level agreement with clear performance targets to those entities. But over and above, we have the entities. We also have, for instance, the Black Professionals Property Charter Council. We've got the Black Professionals Construction Charter Council. They're also being funded by the department to also to help to drive transformation. So now is that, and I have met with all of these councils to say to them, what are you doing in terms of your mandate and the funding that we are giving to you to transform this industry? So what I will propose, a Chairperson, transformation is key. We were able to use to write transformation into the infrastructure investment plan. So yes, we are bringing about transformation using the infrastructure investment plan that was approved by Cabinet in May, but it's certainly not enough. So as far as transformation go, a lot more work needs to be done. But we're starting this year with the service level agreement, so that we give targets to these entities for transformation, and the CB, this Council for the Built Environment, the Engineering Service Council, there are so many of them. Over and above that, Chairperson, there's a review of all of these entities that's taking place by the Presidential State-Owned Entity Council that is being established. And we have been requested to come with proposals, and the Deputy Minister is working on this, to submit proposals to the Presidential State-Owned Entity Council as to how to reduce and of how to merge some of these entities, but to really do an assessment, are they really fulfilling their mandate? So those processes are ongoing. Two honorable members raised the issue about the immovable asset register. Now, just in the 2 years that we've been in the department, there were two attempts to put out tenders to digitize the immovable asset register. And both attempts failed. Even though both attempts failed, on the 29th of January this year, the department put out another tender on the same specifications The tender was supposed to close on the 26th of February. I had to intervene and said to them, we have now turned to National Treasury. National Treasury has assigned a full-time person, and we have drafted the new specifications for a tender to go out just to digitize the immovable asset register. Honorable Yiklin mentioned Atiba. One of the advice that we received from National Treasury was that you never put out a tender and put out a tender for an Archibus system or a Sage system. You put out a tender to test the market, to see the skills in the market that can provide you with the necessary help for what you need in the department. So that has been the mistake that the department has done. In fact, Archibus was implemented in 2012. It has got 9 modules to implement. Up till now, 2021, the department has only implemented, there are still 2 outstanding modules of Archibus that they need to implement. But now they want to go out on a tender to seek help for the department so that they can implement the Archibus model. So in a discussion with the acting DG and the DDG for corporate services and our ICT department, 2 weeks ago we had a meeting with Treasury, and based on advice of Treasury, they've advised the department to cancel that tender because they were going to go up for the 3rd time with the same specifications. Over and above the digitization of the immovable asset register is another process that we are working on since last year, Honourable Members, and that is an attempt to put our immovable asset register on blockchain. Because of the thousands of transactions that you have on the immovable asset register, we have applied for a grant to do a proof of concept to put our immovable asset register on blockchain, and hopefully we'll be able to get a long and lasting solution, a modern solution, whereby we can have an open data portal with the assets that belonging to government, that it will be there and it will be at the press of a button available for people to see. I can't agree more with you, Honorable van Schalkwyk, that we now have to stick to timelines. And I do support that we do a quarterly report to the portfolio committee so that we update you. We are now using the cabinet-approved a memo of November 2020. Because even in designing the current timelines that's before the committee today, we have not aligned those timelines to this November 2020 guideline. And that is what I'm busy with now. When I saw the dates that they were giving, I said, no, did you follow the dates on the president's guidelines, on cabinet guidelines? They didn't do that. So we will come back to you, Honourable Members, and then we will align this process to the Cabinet Memo of November 2020. Just one more issue that I want to raise, and then the department come in. Yes, Honourable Singh, the issue of lack of capacity is being used as an excuse for inefficiency. Now, yes, the department did in 2018 decide to bring in contract workers, but only to find, you know, a contract worker can only come on board for 1 year. And when I made an assessment to see what these contract workers were doing for the year that they were appointed to draft the public works bill, you find that those contract workers were busy with everything else except the public work bill. And there was a request by the department to extend the contract for another year, but I don't have the powers to extend the contract for another year. It's only with the Minister of DPSA, and I told them I'm not going to do it because you had your extra capacity, but you still did not do the task as required. Just on the EPWP policy, also in 2019, honorable members, when we arrived in the department, there was the first draft policy on EPWP. And when I ask about the policy, because policy is in the domain of the executive authority, I was asked by the department to appoint the experts to join the experts that were appointed by the department to draft this policy. And I said, no, I'm not appointing any expert. I'm the expert. It's my duty to deal with policy. So what they then produced was an 800-page document, policy document. We sent it back. We said, first of all, you must understand what is the purpose and what is the definition of a policy, not to go and write a Bible. Then the process was then further refined. We're currently sitting with another document of over 400 pages. And again, we said to the department, but no, you don't put standard operating procedures in a policy. But there is a definite need to review the 2003 policy with the implementation of EPWP, because so many things have changed over some time now. So now the EPWP policy is with me and with the deputy minister. We are now going to write a policy for EPWP ourselves after 2 years of trying to get the department to assist us with doing an EPWP policy. So, Chairperson, there's lots of work to be done. I'm going to give over to the acting DG to fill in any other points that was raised by the honourable members. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Minister. Devon, Irene and Livuani, I'm going to give you the first bite and then we'll deal with the gaps. Devon, you first, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Acting DG. I think Minister's covered most of the issues. I just want to come strictly looking at those issues that we have that have not been developed. Just to confirm and emphasize that the timelines will draw utmost best to align to the timelines. We will engage Minister on the revised timelines as requested. The issue of the procurement process, I think I tackled it and went through to the Chief State Law Advisor. The terms of reference for that was drafted and it was done in conjunction with our legal unit and they were satisfied and hence it was sent through to the state attorney. I think Minister has dealt with the issues of transformation, but just to highlight that Minister is correct. We have the CIDB whose one of its clear mandates is to transform the construction sector. So if you look at some of the transformational issues so far, in terms of the register of contractors on the CIDB register grades 1 to 9, there's been fairly well transformed grades between 1 and 6. I think the problem starts from grade 7 onwards, where the numbers change. I think from up to grade 7, I mean up to grade 5, we have almost 98% black, and as we move up, it starts to dwindle. I think between grades 7 and 8, 7, it's around 68%. And then as you move to 8 and 9, it's much lower. So there has been some good progress on the lower levels, but not so much on the higher levels. On CBE, in terms of transformation, I think CBE plays a coordination role, but the key drivers for transformation are the professional councils themselves. And I know, ministry through the quarterly meetings is driving this matter with professional councils very strongly. Both the chartered councils, that's the property sector chartered council and the construction sector chartered council, have in terms of the Construction Sector Charter Council, the revised codes are being gazetted, and the Property Sector Charter Codes, those codes will be coming soon to Minister for support to submit to DTI for gazetting. So then those codes, they clearly spell out what are the revised targets, and these should be actually improved targets for the transformation of the sector. So those are the key entities we have to drive transformation. On the EPWP minister has addressed those matters. I think most of the other issues have been addressed, Akinyeji. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Devon. Irene, would you want to add yourself and Libuwani before we hand back to the minister and deputy minister?
Akinyeji, I think the issues that have been raised, seven issues that have been raised, are almost covered by both our minister and Devon. I don't have anything to add.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Chairperson, from my side, I just want to endorse that we will present every quarter on the progress on this particular program and to acknowledge that it has failed over an extended period of time for various reasons, including leadership in the department, and we'll present on a quarterly basis. And also I'd like to welcome and propose that we present on the immovable asset register and sage archibus in the next quarter when we have the opportunity. Let me hand over back to the Minister and Deputy Minister and to yourself, Chairperson. I see the other members, perhaps there are more questions, I'm not sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister, and the team. Any follow-up questions? Oh, the heads are already there. Honourable Hicklin and Honourable Suisa.
Thank you so much, Chair. Yes, Minister, I wanted to suggest that we look at a different software package if this is proving to be a problem. When I was a councillor in the city of Johannesburg, we had tremendous problems because of an insistence on using the SAP system. And by the time they had actually finished making the necessary amendments, and I use the open quotes in inverted commas, whichever way you want to look at it, it was such a hybrid system that there were no people around who could actually support the system because they had changed it so much to try and meet the needs of the city of Johannesburg that it became a useless piece of software that could not be supported, and when it crashed, the whole city council almost ground to a halt. And I think we need to guard against that happening within the department here. If Archibus is not the correct system, it's up to the department to send out a tender to find out what software is available, irrespective of whether 7 out of 9 modules have been implemented. Have they been implemented in a way in which it makes the system work or not? If they haven't, we literally have to cut our losses and look at another system that will enable us to do our jobs as a department more efficiently. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Suisa, followed by Honourable Tring.
Thank you, Chair. You know, Chairperson, there's something that's not sitting well with me, and this is something that always happens when the minister comes to present to them. So it's part of the delegation that comes to present to the Portfolio Committee of Public Works. And the fact that she addresses issues as an outsider is not part of the department itself. And it clearly shows that there's a lack of leadership or the lack of making proper monitoring and evaluation in her department. which is very concerning. I don't think my question was answered based on what do we do about structures like Infrastructure South Africa and DBSA, where we do not have jurisdiction to do oversight and monitoring as APC. And then, Minister, we've been talking about the IRA for as long as I can remember, since we started the sixth administration. And still, we are still in the dark as to are we going forward, are we going backwards or sideways, or are we standing at one place? Why can't it be finalized that the IRA should be digitized? It's very disappointing even today. We don't have a clear idea as to what's happening with the IRA. Every time we get different responses, why can't it be finalized that the IRA must be digitized and so that everything can be put in one basket, anybody who's got that? Why are we still struggling to finalize the asset register? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my question with regards to the difference that it would make in terms of the timelines, the President's policy legislative framework that was put in place, as opposed to the one that we now currently have, where the timeline indicated that it was going to be May 2022, that we would now look at finalizing the draft bill. So my question wasn't answered in terms of what difference would the President's process make as opposed to the one that is now being presented to us. Is there a difference, and what is that difference? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Trin. Minister, just a few comments from me. I think in the next portfolio committee, we in the next quarter, because I think this is the last meeting we'll have in this quarter, can we get the full report on the consultative process that you indicated that is currently under review in the department? Can we get a report on that one? Two, Minister, I don't want to lie to you. It is deeply worrying that you are saying today to us, Archibas and SAGE are facing serious challenges. It then means the fact that we thought that by 2021 the IRA would be fully functional is still a dream. So if you are saying those two, they have challenges, it means that is still a dream. That also means you will still get an audit query when it comes to asset register in terms of Auditor General. I think you need to, I don't know how you're going to do this, but something needs to give out there. We really need a fully functional IRI in the department. And I don't know, what are you going to do now when you are saying these two are facing challenges? But okay, that one is up to you. But I think as the portfolio committee that is playing oversight to the department, we need to see a movement on that one. You promised us that you're working on that, bringing in Archibas and all that and all that. And then today you're telling us that they are facing challenges. That's a worrying factor. That's a worrying factor. And it also, Minister, it also raises red flags. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Let me start with the Archibas. And also at the same time respond to Honourable Sawisa. The reason why I can be so brutally honest with this committee is exactly because we are doing monitoring and evaluation all the time. I can explain how we are doing it. We have a monthly meeting with the senior management of the department that we call MINTOP. I have a weekly meeting with the DM, myself, the acting DG, and the CFO on a weekly basis. Now, all members know when it comes to supply chain management processes, that is where we cannot interfere. And that is where the mess is. And I don't want Archie Bus myself. And I've expressed this to the department, but I've got reasons for that. In the external audit report that we have received in the department, the implementation of Archibus started in 2015. And even though the department paid for the system, the department contracted two implementing partners to help them to implement Archibus. And in 2021, it is not implemented. And the other reason is for the money that the state has spent already on implementing this Archibus system. In 2015, the department spent 16.5 million rand. In 2017, the department spent 19.8 million rand. And between 2015 and 16, another 42 million rand was spent on implementing this Archibus system. And because of the drafting of the specifications for three aborted tenders, the last attempt was when the department tried to, with the same specifications, put another tender out on the 29th of January 2021. Now, where I see the tenders is that the department, we've introduced a system whereby the department must put all tenders onto the department's website. And that is where I saw on the website that the department has gone again to put up another tender for the third time specifying Archibus. And that is where I now made an intervention and then turned to National Treasury for help. I also turned for help to the state's chief procurement officer to say, please help, because the department has failed to draw up the right specifications for three aborted tenders. In the meantime, we are employing over 78 contract workers that go out to do the valuation of state-owned entities. They do it on a manual basis with a tape measure to measure a building. And so these contract workers have never additional to the staff complement. We also had to deal with the additional 70-80 contract workers that do the physical verification. And the Auditor General, because we still do the physical verification on a manual basis, if you go back into the records of the department, you will see that there was an audit finding every single year by the Auditor General. Now, as part of the drive in the department to move the department to at least an unqualified audit, we have put into the performance agreements of all senior managers as a target for an unqualified audit. And so 2 weeks ago, after having consulted with National Treasury and the Chief State and the Chief Procurement Officer, to help us to draw up the specifications, I have facilitated that meeting. I've engaged with National Treasury, but now we are in the process of putting the right specs together. And National Treasury is now assisting the department. So I'm not trying to stand back I'm the accounting officer also. I'm the executive authority of this department. I'm not dodging any responsibility. It is right that the members of parliament must hold me to account. But I must also be honest with the members of parliament to explain to the members of parliament, because of the historical problems of this department, what we are going through. But I never give up hope, and I will also never give up and just throwing my hands up in the air and sorry, this is a lost case. We cannot. We cannot, the DM and myself, because of the people of this country and because of service delivery. So we will continue to give honest and truthful presentations to the portfolio committee. And we value the input of the portfolio committee chairperson and under your leadership. We value your input. You won't even know how I sometimes use the portfolio committee's name in vain, because you give me that strength. You give me that willpower to continue to push. And I will say to the department, this is what the portfolio committee has instructed us to do. So it is not an easy task to manage, honorable members. We are trying our best, chairperson. And I agree with you that we need to see movement. Can I make an appeal, chairperson, that you give us a month so that we can go sort out the exact timelines to align the proposed implementing timelines of the department to the cabinet decision of 2020, and give you hopefully more positive feedback. Chairperson, I would also like to ask the Deputy Minister maybe to do the closing remarks, and then ask Honourable Chairperson if I can be excused at 11:15 to join a Cabinet Committee. I thank you very much, members, and I really appreciate your input. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. I hope Honourable Tring...
My apologies, Chair. Yeah,
oh, okay.
I'm not sure if the Minister is going to answer my question or whether she's going to get somebody else to do it.
Minister, Honourable Tring feels that his question has not been answered. Can you then ask your team to respond?
Sorry, Honourable Tring. I write so fast, I sometimes can't make up my own handwriting. My apology for that. There is a difference in the timelines as proposed by the department now, compared to the cabinet directive of 2020. And that is what we now need to quantify and align to the November 2020 guidelines. And then we will present again to the committee. As we speak, we are currently busy with that process. And then even if I have to come directly back to Honourable Tring once we have done it, But I can't tell you exactly now what are the differences, but except to confirm that there are differences. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Minister and your team. We appreciate that when we ask questions, you respond, but also you must understand that it is our duty and it is our responsibility as given by Parliament to check these things. So
yes,
it's also our wish as this portfolio committee to see that before the end of this term, there is a bill, a public bill, not only a draft, but it is passed by the Parliament. So that is why you see us doing this, and we have indicated that bill, the issue of transformation must be clear,
the issue of how you standardize EPWPA must be clear. The issue of how the PMT together with the provinces work, it must be clear. We want to see those things. And those two white papers, they are your resource documents. I think we as the portfolio committee, we have had honorable members, they have raised this because the lack of this bill, it leads to many things. One of them, having qualified audit opinions, sometimes disclaimers, whatever, because you don't have a fully functional asset register. We hope that you're going to follow up on this issue of Archibald and Sage with the Treasury, but we also, as the Portfolio Committee, appreciate the fact that you will be using the capacity that is within government, state security, instead of employing consultants. We are not supporting the issue of the use of consultants. We have DDG in the policy making, policy and research directory. We expect him to be hands-on because one of the things that he was employed for was the development of policies for the department. So we can't have someone and then at the end of the day, we employ a service provider to do the work of that person. We should have employed people, maybe through EPWP, to do other work. We really appreciate your presentation today and the engagement that the honorable members they doing. But Minister, you must understand that in this quarter that we're going to start on the 1st of April, we're going to want an update report again on this because we have seen that if we don't do, we get what we get. We wanted an update report early 2020, early February, but we found out the team only met in January 2021, which means the entire 2020, they didn't look at this. It shows that they're not serious about this. It shows that they're not serious about this. But Minister, you need to talk to them. But we appreciate what you have done today. We are going to go to the next item, Nola. Ms. Martinez?
Yes, Chair. The next item on the agenda is the adoption of minutes of yesterday's meeting. Let me just quickly fly the minutes up.
Okay. We may release the minister and head him so that we deal with our own issues. Thank you again for joining us. You can fly to the minutes, Ms. Martinez.
Are they visible now, Chair? Oh, this is the report. I don't know what's wrong with my Zoom these days. 17th. Okay. Let me just go to... Okay, the minutes are not great. Chair, please bear with me. I'm just battling with my Zoom these days. I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
Just can't find this anyway. Is it now visible, Chair?
No, you don't see any minutes here. Oh.
Okay, Chairperson, maybe I could propose that we start with the report because that's the one that's All right, let me just try the minutes. Are they now visible, Chair?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson, and apologies for that. So the minutes that are in front of the committee for consideration and adoption are the minutes of the meeting that was held yesterday, where there was a briefing by Mr. August and the DPWI on the petition that was referred to this committee in December 2020. We also considered and adopted the 2020-21 annual report of the portfolio committee. And then we considered minutes of the previous meeting. I'd like the honorable members to check the attendance register, but I think it's carefully captured. And then we zoom into the resolutions of the meeting. One resolution was that the DPWI must complete its mandate setting public works bill to fully empower its branches to do its work. The second one was that the department should ensure that the proposed draft public works bill includes clauses that make it possible to enforce implementation of standard setting uniform policies, such as how beneficiaries are employed in EPWP projects at municipalities, provincial governments, and national government. I think this resolution will also appear in today's meeting, because that's what I've just captured as well as coming out of today's meeting. The last one was that recommendations as proposed by members of the committee had to be included in the 2020 annual report of the committee, and the committee would see that those were indeed factored in. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Ms. Martinez, honorable members, minutes are no longer there. Honorable members, the minutes that were flighted by Ms. Martinez just now, of the meeting that we held yesterday on the petition that was written by Honorable August. Are there any corrections, amendments on the minutes? Honorable Tring, or is your hand?
My apologies, Chair, my hand has been lift up.
Oh, it has been lift up now. Okay, yeah.
No, sorry, I'd lift it up, I'm sorry.
Okay, if there are no corrections, honorable members, then I would like to have the mover for this minute reflection of what happened yesterday. May I have?
I'm moving, Chairperson.
Honorable Franz Kalweg, good that you adopt the minutes, because they are a true reflection of what happened yesterday. May I have a second now, honorable members?
I do second, Chair.
Honorable Matebula seconds the motion. Thank you, honorable members. There is a report that we discussed yesterday, honorable members, and though we adopted it, but we had raised issues that it must be amended in some points. Can you then talk to those issues that we requested amendment, Ms. Martinez?
All right, Chair, on the report, we just made amendments on the recommendations that the honorable member spoke about, which would read as follows.
Can you then, Nala?
I'm trying to get to it. Is the report the one that's visible on the screen, Chair, or is it another
one? Yes, it is. No, it is
in front of me.
No, it is not. This report is the one of the petition.
Yes.
You want to start with it, not the one we...
Let's start with the petition, Chair, please.
Oh, okay. Okay. Apologies, honorable members. We'll start with the report of the petition.
All right, thank you, Chair. As a procedure, the committee is required to draft a report and table it to the House after having considered a petition. That is, after having had a briefing from the petitioner and the department as well that is concerned. So this is the report of the portfolio committee after having considered the petition from Mr. August, which he tabled on the 24th of November, but was referred to this committee on the 11th of December, calling upon the Assembly to investigate the policy review that will look into developing a consistent system across municipalities, provincial governments, and national government on how the EPWP program employs job seekers. So point number one is basically about the report that we had yesterday, where Mr. August gave a background and the objective of the petition, which was to appeal to the Assembly to investigate the policy review. So the department also gave their own briefing, where they reported that there was in fact a standardized policy in place on how beneficiaries of EPWP were employed. The branch further reported that it was doing everything in its power to ensure that the policy was properly implemented at all projects across the three levels of government. So what the committee basically observed was that a clear uniform standard setting policy does exist. However, the EPWP is one of government's programs that played a key role in the economic reconstruction and development plan, must be properly implemented so that the scourge of unemployment can be curbed. The second observation was that the committee raised the crucial question of how the DPWI and its EPWP branch was unable to enforce the implementation of national standardized policy of how municipalities, provinces, and national government employed its own beneficiaries. There were three resolutions in this instance. One being that the department must complete its mandate so they can set up a draft public works bill to fully mandate them and empower its branches to do its employment creating coordinating work across national, provincial and municipal government levels. Further, the DPWI should ensure that it includes clauses in the bill that makes it possible to enforce the implementation of standard setting uniform policies of how beneficiaries are employed in EPWP projects. And the last one was that the EPWP branch, the EPWP is part of the safety net for the majority who have no skills and qualifications, and therefore a standardized policy on how government employs the beneficiaries is that must be put in place. Then the report would then be considered. That should be all from my side, Chair, on this report.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Honourable members, this is the report on the petition that was brought to the, in fact, it was sent to National Assembly, in which then the Speaker forwarded to this portfolio committee. This is the report that we need to consider as the portfolio committee on what we discussed yesterday. I'm inviting comments, honourable members, on this report. I don't see any hand.
Chair, I would move for adoption of the report.
Honourable Graham Murray moves for the adoption of the report, and Honourable Hicklin seconds the motion. Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Then the third report.
Chair, let me go into the third report. All right, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, the point number 16 was basically the main one that we had to insert onto the report, which was recommendations. And if I may go into the recommendation 16.1, it says the department must send comprehensive responses to issues raised in committee meetings within the correct time frames. The second one was that the department must attach actual reports as annexures to presentations that are submitted and tabled to the committee. The third one was that the committee must devise more effective ways to hold the executive to account. The fourth one was that the support personnel must submit a weekly updated list of committee recommendations to the committee for ease of monitoring and evaluation. The last one was that the committee must draft a written acknowledgement of the work done by support personnel that assists the committee to perform its mandated role. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable
Honourable members, this one is coming back because we had asked that there must be an addition in terms of recommendation and all other issues that we raised, that we need them to be effective in the report. I'm then inviting honourable members to comment. Honourable members, Honourable Fanskave.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think as I scanned through the document, and I think what has been captured, especially in terms of point 16, is sufficiently done, and therefore I want to formally move for the adoption of this report. Thank you. With the amendments.
Thank you, Honourable Van Skalvik. Honourable Van Skalvik is saying that the all that we were raising yesterday, it's captured clearly. And then she moves that we adopt the report with the amendments. And then can I have a second now for that? This is our annual report, honourable members. A second, honourable members.
Yeah, I think the report was already adopted yesterday. It was just for us to come to bring it back to the committee. So already the adoption yesterday, yes.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez, for reminding us of that. Honourable members, any announcements, Ms. Martinez?
Nothing much from my side, Chair, apart from the fact that we will be sitting through oral submissions next week on Wednesday and Thursday, 24 and 25 March. That should be all from my side. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. We must note that, honourable members, 24th and 25, we will be having virtual meeting on oral submissions. Honourable Graham Murray, is your hand up or are you clapping?
I was clapping and my hand is up. So,
okay.
Violent reaction on my part. Chair, I just wanted to ask, Nola said yesterday that the Z list contained the first three public participation hearings. So can we then assume that this is now available for the public and we can advertise the first three, Mpumalanga, Limpopo and Northwest?
Honourable Hicklin, thank you, Honourable Graham Murray. Honourable Hicklin.
Thanks, Chair. It's following on to what Honourable Graham Murray said. If it is now on the Z list and we can distribute such information, do we have venues as yet? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Nola is going to come in. There is going to be a slight change in Northwest due to the availability of flights. There is a proposal that those that are flying from Cape Town, they must fly to Kimberley. And as such, we must try to have a venue that is nearer to Kimberley, and then that is nearer to Northern Cape, and then move over. But we have tried to seek venues that are in the four districts, as we are created, that will be visiting four districts. Ms. Martinez, over to you in each province, four districts in each province. Ms. Martinez, over to you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and to the Honourable Members for the questions. The Chair has already covered me largely. I was going to request that the committee gives us space and at least until Friday this week so that we can finalise the entire programme of the first leg, because now we've just realised that we need to alternate in terms of the, we need to alter our program in terms of the Northwest in the main, and also we are still to submit the formal notification to those provinces that we're going to, and we're looking to do that by no later than Friday this week. So as soon as we get the final program out, then we'll confirm everything with the honorable members, then they can carry on and try to mobilize on that part, on their part. Thanks, Chair.
It means then, honorable members, you are free to indicate to your constituents that we are, will be in Limpopo on the 8th to 11th, April, the following week in Mpumalanga, the following week in Northwest. And then once those venues are finalized, Nola, please send to all of us so that we send to our constituents, we mobilize them. But honorable members, they must remember it will be on the basis of first come, first serve. Remember, we only need hundreds within the venue according to health protocols. So we won't have more than 100, but we also agreed that if we, there are people that are not in the first 100 but would like to speak, then we will have a way of ensuring that we take maybe 10, that they queue, they present, and then they go out. Because we don't want to be in a situation that also, as members of the parliament, we are part of those that contravene the health protocols. We can't do that, honorable members. So those that will be going there, it's first come, first serve. In the one that we were recently participating, the Section 25, people would arrive there. The meeting would start at 10, but people will be there as early as 7 o'clock. It was bad, honorable members. I don't want to lie to you. So we just inform our consciences. Thank you, honorable members. And again, honorable members, we had a robust engagement with the department today, playing our oversight role. I think, honorable members, it must also be our task to see these things happening in this sixth term. We may not have strategic planning, but one thing for sure, we have to work hard to ensure that what is needed has to happen. This bill, public works bill, must see its day in parliament. The expropriation bill, we have started the process. We dealt with the return submissions. We will be dealing with the second step of it, which are oral submissions, and then we'll also be starting in April with the third leg of it, which is the public hearings. And we're working as a team, honorable members. There's nothing that we can achieve as this portfolio committee. Thank you again for your participation in the meeting. The meeting is adjourned. See you in the plenary at 3:00.